Let's get started. How was the keynote? It's good? Nice to hear. You guys like the office graph, codenamed Oslo, and bringing the content onto you? Yeah. All right, many of you, some of you are familiar faces. I used to run the SharePoint customer advisory team in my past life. And my role was to advise our large enterprises in deploying and managing SharePoint and deriving the best value out of it. And you know, nowadays, me and my team gets to walk the talk. My team builds and runs SharePoint Online. So I had this little joke the other day. I was at home and my seven-year-old was asking, so what do you do? And I said, I make the cloud happen for SharePoint. And so he said, so are you the rainmaker? And I said, yeah, I'm the rainmaker. And told my team and they said, maybe you should be known as chief rainmaker. So more seriously though, like our team builds, runs, and lives the service. I'm from the product group. I'm here to tell you three things. And this session is for anyone who is interested in productivity in the cloud. Whether they run existing SharePoint, whether they have a solution up in the cloud today, or whether you are just considering what this enterprise cloud computing is about and where a company like Microsoft is going, this session is for you. We're going to talk a bit about our journey to the cloud. And it'll be my pleasure today, for the first time, to the SharePoint conference attendees, announce a set of capabilities that is going to further set us ahead in security, in scale, tool system for information protection. That is really going to be a quantum leap in enterprise cloud. You guys would look at it and you would realize that, yeah, I can understand what an enterprise cloud is supposed to be. So that'd be exciting. We'll have some announcements, we'll have some news. It won't be a salesy session, I promise. And then finally, we will close off with some onboarding ramps that we talked about in the keynote. Bill Baer talked about in IT Pro. Just a quick show of hands. How many of you guys attended Bill's IT Pro session? A good number of you, great. How many of you have an existing on-prem SharePoint deployment and just on-prem only? Just on-prem only, great. How many of you guys are thinking about a cloud strategy, regardless of what timeline it's in, today, a few months from now? This is my audience. This is great. Thank you. All right, let's dig straight in. So in 2001, we launched this collaboration server, which was supposed to last and take care of the needs for collaboration for the next decade. It was a web-based collaboration and publishing platform. It had notions of sites and webs natively built into it, allowing divisional portals to exist with appropriate administrative boundaries, but be built on the same hardware infrastructure. Yeah? We embraced new protocols for web-based protocols for presentation, for authentication, for identity, and for access, and we continue to invest in it. And those investments served us well and put us in a place to capitalize when the disruption of cloud came along. In as early as 2005, late, I was given permission to drop some of the customer names, so it would be my privilege to talk about them. We started planting the roots of SharePoint in the cloud under a product family name called Business Productivity Online Suite. This was our dedicated offering running your servers as an IT-hosted model by our own team. We learned a lot from you, and we are grateful to early adopter customers like Energizer and like Shell Oil, multinational corporations who trusted us with the data just the way they trusted us with the very first product we built. And we took those learnings and launched the first multi-tenant version of our service back in 2008. There were many customers who joined us, who gave us feedback, built their collaboration business on the suite, and all those learnings we took to launch a completely re-architected, a third generation of our online architecture that we call Office 365. We brought the power of Exchange, SharePoint, Link, and enterprise protection and social all into a single manageability fabric. We fully embraced as a product group the notion of DevOps, believing that if we wrote the code, we are going to service when it has an issue. And instead of being in this model where we wrote the server and then built the service, we fundamentally shifted into a model where we build the service to ship the server. And you're going to see fingerprints of our server or service all over when we ship our next on-prem server. Do not be worried. There is an on-prem release. It's on scheduled for the calendar year 2015. And a part of my team is working on our on-prem release too. And the reception of that product has been simply amazing, right? Let me just show you a couple of stats on that. So we talked about 250,000 responses there, but I just wanted to show you a couple of things around where things are headed. Sochi Olympics ran on a combination of Microsoft Cloud across Dynamics, SharePoint, and Azure came together to deliver Sochi Olympics. Its whole digital backbone was built on this family of products. We had 2.1 million concurrent streamers of the final hockey match between US and Canada. That's the Canadians in the room. That infrastructure is going to be at your disposal. You, as the IT, can roll it out to your IWs and just run your company meeting. When your new announcements come in, when you need to talk to your external customers, when you need to talk to your own employees, that same infrastructure is going to be available to you. 60% of the Fortune 500 companies today run on SharePoint Online and Office 365. That is just shy of 2.5 years after we launched. That is the level of adoption the service has seen. So that is a little bit of a context on where we came from. And our new CEO would like to say that our industry do not respect tradition. It only respects go-forward innovation. So let's actually talk about what is in the service and how each one of you can take advantage of it. I have worked with our collaboration business customers for nearly a decade, and I can tell you that I have not seen two similar-shaped collaboration deployments in my life. We don't believe in a one-size-fits-all sort of consumer bitbucket strategy when it comes to enterprise collaboration. Every business is unique, and their collaboration needs are too. So we have something that you're going to be excited about. This is, by the way, not a SKU walkthrough. I'm not a marketing guy. I'm going to just tell you what you can do with it. There is a pretty exciting, you know, roll-up of our SKUs. It's available online, as well as there is going to be a few sessions where you can go to talk about it, hear about it. If you are a small business, and if you just want to get up and running fast, we have an offer for you. Whether that is our OneDrive for business as a standalone SKU, like that announcement, or whether it is just using our social platform to get started, or if you really want to have a place to hang your shingle and a public-facing site, or if you choose to bring the full power of business class email, online conferencing, SharePoint onto you so that you can level play the field, that is power for you. A very simple pay-as-you-go subscription model for you to take on. It's a pretty interesting business for partners too, by the way. We just announced a pretty big partnership with GoDaddy. And at WPC, the World Partner Conference. How many of you guys are going to WPC? Actually, good number. So you're going to hear about some pretty exciting announcement that is pretty interesting for you guys in the partner space there too. Moving on, enterprise. There is no doubt that We were born and we were baked in the space, and so we understand your needs, that it's not just about collaboration capabilities for the IWs, but as the IT, you need to stay on top of that content. You need to be in control of that information, and we provide you a bevy of tools that far exceed anything that anyone has imagined, because life was easier for us in this space, because all we had to do was take the product we built for on-prem and get those capabilities up on the service. And this whole session is going to be about those capabilities, so you'll have a ton more details on that coming. And finally, this is a place where we are just killing, building a product that is just right for some of our largest companies and governments, right? There are some places where the offerings are very special. You know, large governments, companies from China, there are some heavily, heavily regulated industries who talk to us and say, hey, this multi-tenant cloud that is, you know, shared is just not right for us, and we really need to have a single instance model for us. They want to have private networking connected so that their corporate domain is directly connected to our cloud. The needs there are pretty unique. It is not for everyone, but if you're one of them, call us and we have an offer for you. It's a pretty big deal in a way. Our cloud is special. All right, so let's now take a look at one of the customers that I was privileged to work with in the past, who put together a video for us. Is a healthcare provider in the Midwest region. Advocate operates about 250 sites of care across the region, and it trains more primary care physicians and residents across its teaching facilities than any other healthcare provider in the state. And you can imagine the sort of challenges it presents itself in the speed of collaboration, because patient data is not a thing that you really want to take and then take 2 years to get to the right place, in compliance, and just in its pure scale. So let me actually have Rance walk us through what their journey has been.
Advocate Healthcare is the largest healthcare organization in the state of Illinois. We have 35,000 associates, 10 hospitals, 2 children's hospitals, a large medical group of over 1,000 physicians. IT plays a critical role in providing the information to the physicians and helps improve the level of quality care that we're giving to our patients. We have many security concerns we need to be conscious of, including HIPAA regulations. We did not have good communication collaboration tools in the organization. We were using Sun's iPlanet email system. Our calendars were not integrated, and we had no instant messaging at that point. The evaluation process included Office 365, Google's email calendaring system. We also looked at Zimbra's and Sun's iPlanet email system. With Advocate's strategic vision, we ultimately landed this on Office 365. Office 365 has helped us from a collaboration breaking down a silo standpoint. If one of our hospitals has developed a great application in SharePoint, another hospital can latch onto it and use the same thing.
Transition Call Center is a great way that we've been able to collaborate across the system. This takes data from our electronic health record and feeds it into SharePoint, where nurses are given lists of patients to call back.
Our Transition Call Center is staffed by 16 registered nurses. They all work from their homes, which is really exciting. We use Link to promote our communication as a team, as well as share best practice with one another. If a nurse has a patient that she's unsure about, she can reach out to a colleague or to me instantly to get information while she's still on the phone with the patient. We also are able to do our staff meetings virtually, which saves us on drive time, which increases our productivity.
The IT staff can begin focusing on higher value tasks and saving the organization over $1 million per year from having an on-premise solution. With the implementation of Office 365, we have been able to support Advocate's growth of over 5,000 associates without adding additional staff.
We're also seeing an early reduction in readmission rate, and we're anticipating to see a greater increase in our HCAHPS results.
Being able to collaborate online, push out information, coming up with ways to do things better, and really tapping the talent that's at each of the hospitals is going to help improve healthcare.
The timeliness of communication in healthcare is paramount. Seconds make a difference. Advocate's decision to implement Office 365 and move to the cloud, we have been able to deliver better health outcomes and higher levels of quality care.
It's a very sobering video. I don't show that to brag. Every time I see that video, I'm reminded of the responsibility on our shoulders as the guys who run the service. When we look at our service, I don't see bits and bytes. I don't see miles of data center aisles. What we see is businesses like that who has trusted with their patient data on us. And it's a pretty big responsibility, and we strive to meet that responsibility every day. So today, it's my pleasure to introduce a set of capabilities that further sets us apart in our enterprise readiness in the cloud. And we are going to show you how this is going to be the best place for you for security, for reliability, for scale, for professional change management. And we are going to show you some natural ramps that you can take today to come to our cloud. Yeah? Let's actually get into the now the meat of the session. Right? As an engineer, this is when things actually start getting more interesting, right? So, you know, we had a great cloud that resulted in sort of that level of adoption and that level of trust by multiple customers in the healthcare vertical, in financials, in governments, 250 customers from governments. So it's a pretty impressive number. But that's not a thing that we are going to use and going to stay still, right? We are going to further advance our enterprise reliability. We're going to talk about that. We are going to show why your data is going to have the best security in the cloud. And that is one thing, if you take away from this session, it is about the care with which we are going to treat your data. We're going to talk to you now that it's going to be secure and it's going to be reliable that you want to come in here. And there are going to be two sessions that's dedicated for you to talk about how you are going to be given boundless storage. So I encourage you to check SPC 279 by Ben Canning and by another session about giving boundless storage without going broke by Zach Rosenfield. They are both in the back of the forum here. Feel free to go to their session and hear all about it. When we run a great cloud, we want to give you the tool system to manage your information too. We're going to show you, somewhat ironically and somewhat paradoxically, how running on the cloud is going to have you the best tool system for protecting your information. And then finally, changes. Changes is something that everyone is concerned about. We're going to show you how SharePoint Online has taken a very unique and a very professional standpoint in change management because your business runs on it. Excited? All right, now let's go boom, boom. Here was our SLA, right? We have a 99.9% financially backed SLA. It's not the service credit gimmicks or anything. It is putting money where our mouth is. If we missed it, you don't pay for it. But we understand it is not just about money for you. It's about business for you. And it is my privilege and honor to tell you that in the last 1 year, we have not only exceeded our SLA, but as an engineering team, every day we came to work and strive towards making it better and better. Last month, we had our first 99.98. We just wanted it to be 0.01% more, and we are sure that we are on our way. So that's the SLA we are after. When your business depends on it, every minute counts. Just meeting our SLA is not sufficient. Now, let's just move from SLA onto transparency in service health, right? There are many times we may make a mistake. And it is very important to us that we are not going to hold anything back from you, that we are going to be 100% transparent about how we run our cloud. And we are going to show you where our data centers are. We are going to show you our certifications. Ben and Zach are going to talk about, go into great deal of details about the incidents that happened. And so we are going to be transparent all along because it is important for you to know what's going on with your service, before your users do. Some of us who work in the team used to run some of the largest SharePoint deployments for our external customers, and they tell us that there is nothing worse than being called by your boss or by users and then just looking sort of stupid about how it's running, right? So let me actually give you a little quick demo of what that tool system looked like. Pull this guy over here. It's in Chrome. It is not an accident. We believe in cross-browser and cross-platform, and we're going to show you a set of scenarios across all browsers and all devices in an IT pro demo. So how is that going to be? This is the current state of our service health for a production tenancy that I use. And you can see the current status here. I almost wanted to have an incident here to just show it to you, because last night at about 8 o'clock, there was an incident, and we were working on it, and it had every single detail about how that is coming along, what has been the change that we made, when is it going to be back up and running, when can you expect the next update, who you can call to get more information. All that is going to be available to you, right? Now, it is super important to us that that information is not something that is available only on... Let me see whether I can share my phone. That's my phone. So that information is going to be something that's available to you wherever you are, whether you are at work, whether you are at home, whether you are in transit. It is actually pretty cool. Let me just share a quick story. We have an alumni association that it's the page. I mean, our site is managed by a friend of mine. So we were in a coffee shop. He gets a little notification on his phone. He actually has an iPhone, and it's also supported on iOS. And so he picks up the phone, he sees that there is an issue. He calls the dean of our university immediately, and he says, I was notified by Microsoft that there is an issue with the OOF response, and they tell me that it is going to be back up and running in about 45 minutes, and I will call them back if it's not back up and running. So if you have any question, you can call me. And he hangs up the phone, and dean is like, ooh, I mean, he seems to be really on top of it. It was not quite really like Microsoft called them, but you get the idea, right? It's important for you to stay on top of your information. Now, the next topic, let me come back. The next topic, if you haven't figured, is something very close to my heart. And this is a place where we're going to spend a little bit more time. You know, it is scary to me what some of the folks in the industry are cobbling together and calling it an enterprise solution, right? And I don't say this thing to make a jab at the competition. Competition, I believe, is great for the industry and great for the customers. Entrepreneurs should go do phenomenal things. But it's very, very important that you are not running an enterprise cloud where you don't know where your storage is. You don't know where your servers are. You don't know who is manning your data centers. And for us, and for SharePoint Online, and more broadly at Office 365, we know what's beneath our concrete because we poured it, right? From all the way from the data center into the compute fabric, into our storage fabric, we run them all up. Besides giving us the obvious economy of scale, it actually puts our cloud in our hand. It really gives us a true oversight into who could even possibly come close to your customer data, and I'm going to show you why they are not going to touch it without us knowing about it, right? Let me tell you a couple of things out of it, because there's a lot in here. There's a session that is focused on Office 365 security and compliance that I encourage you to go to. Let me take a couple of things here. Show of hands, if you, in your enterprise, deploy a Patch Tuesday patch within 9 days after it comes out across the enterprise. That is pretty awesome, right? About 3 hands went up. That is pretty awesome, because we know how hard is it for you to get it through your testing and deploy it all over the world. So when you have 400,000 cores of capacity, deploying that within 9 days of Patch Tuesday release, and we are working to get that down to 3 days, is a pretty impressive It's a pretty impressive defeat. Another one, feat, not defeat. Another one. We have this really cool stuff called just-in-time lockbox, right? Lockbox is what we call it. That ensures that there is no standing access to a customer data ever. We have done a tremendous amount of engineering so that the deployments and the change management and the service recovery operations can be done without ever seeing or touching the customer data. And we'll talk about that in a bit, and Ben's session is going to be all about that. Now, in the rare occasions when we may need to touch the customer data for service recovery, like, say, for instance, when you need to restore a site collection, we have this technology called Lockbox onto which you can make a request. It is going to do a quick check to see whether you are still on call and access is granted for a few minutes. And then every action that you perform while you are on the service is going to be recorded and it's going to be audited, and in a few minutes later, that session expires. You can request for an extension to that session. So that is how we make sure that there is no standing access to the data. It doesn't matter who it is. I cannot log into the service today and physically touch the customer data. That is how we think about how security is important. And then the rest of the things you can read. Now, you know, the best software systems, I used to be a cryptographer in my previous life. You can actually look and see some of the crazy patterns in that space. And the fundamental premise of security is that there is a notion of a physical security. We could do whatever unless we have smart, committed, security-minded engineers looking 24/7 and for any spurious patterns using pretty nifty machine learning algorithms. You're not gonna go to the final mile of enterprise security. So it's my privilege to introduce you a very special person from the Redmond Command Center. We are gonna give you a live tour to the SharePoint conference audiences of our command center and introduce a guy to you who runs our security systems. All right, let's see. Matt Swan, are you there?
I'm here, thanks, Simon.
You are here, let's see where he is hiding. This is him. Nobody, oops, that's gone. It's back. Nobody messes with him in Redmond, by the way. This is our command center. It's a 24/7 staff facility. We have the best site reliability engineers protecting the integrity and health of your service all the time. You can see the machines behind there. There are like ginormous screens all over showing us, you know, health data, machine learning data, you know, results of our probe, our topology, how the deployments are happening, how the changes are happening. So, you know, if there is time permitting, I might ask Matt to pick up his camera and show him around. But let's hear from him. He is our security lead, and we will have a chance to see what a day in the life looks like for him. Matt, you are live from Vegas talking to the SharePoint Conference IT pros. Take it away.
Thanks, Simon. I'm here in the SharePoint Online Center. My team's job is to keep your data secure in our service. And we have world-class people, processes, and technology that are dedicated to monitoring our system for unusual activity. I'd like to show you how it works. So it all starts in our data center. Hundreds of thousands of servers are constantly uploading their logs to a big data store that we call Cosmos. Those logs include Windows security events, IIS requests, and SharePoint application logs, over a terabyte of data every day. We carefully scrub these logs to anonymize customer information. Once the logs are in Cosmos, we use sophisticated algorithms and machine learning techniques to analyze the data. We monitor everything from service accounts, Microsoft engineer activity, process starts, network traffic. Everything that happens in the data center comes under our microscope. And this is what our detection process looks like. Every node represents a step that we take, whether that's filtering out noise, breaking out specific kinds of events, or doing analysis to detect outliers. Now, for example, there are 400 million Windows process start events in our service every day, far too many for us to review by hand. So we use a machine learning technique to narrow this down to just the handful of processes that are unusual based on how this user or this machine has behaved in the past. So instead of hard coding a list of processes that are good or that are bad, we generate a baseline of our own behavior by looking at events from the past 2 weeks. Then we compare today's events against that baseline to detect changes in behavior. Now, we write our detections in a language called Scope. It looks a lot like SQL, but unlike SQL, these operations run in parallel across thousands of processors simultaneously. A typical detection might process 10 terabytes of data in 15 or 20 minutes and output less than a megabyte of results. One of the best ways to analyze our results is to make them visual. This chart shows the handful of unusual process starts we detected out of the 400 million events in yesterday's data. And then our security analysts, we review this data and we follow up when we see behavior that we don't expect. This combination of sophisticated algorithms and human expertise helps us to detect even small changes hidden in a large volume of data. Now, we also use crowdsourcing to help us deal with the vast amount of data that we process every day. When we see one of our own engineers do something unusual, our system sends them an email, and we ask them about the events that we observed. If they can't confirm their activity, they can click in the email and engage the incident response team immediately. Now, we like the system because it helps us to protect our engineers against attacks like social engineering by alerting them if their accounts are ever used without their knowledge. Now, we've built all of this with one purpose in mind, to make our cloud the safest place for your data. We strive to be world-class because we believe that your data deserves it. Back to you, Simon.
Thank you so much, Matt. That was excellent. That was excellent. There's nothing more you can add to that. So let's move on. And talk about the next thing. Security is important, huh? All right. You know, we decided we are not going to stop there. We are going to announce a pretty hip thing today. And again, we are going to have interesting details around that in a follow-up session. So we decided to take another quantum leap in the storage and security model for our cloud. And that leap we call Fortnox. You heard a bit from Bill's previous session. Let me give you a little bit more detail on it, and my colleague Ben has a ton more stuff coming on it. So here is a document that is going to make its way into a well-managed data center on its front end, and it comes over SSL. No one gets to see it. And right on the front end, the documents get shredded into multiple pieces. And by the way, we are looking at about 400,000 cores worth of data centers. Capacity over there, so you get a sense around the cardinality of the number of servers on the right side. And then each one of those threads, which are encrypted with its own unique keys using AES 256, so that you can actually count using the most modern chain of computers, how long does it take to do that, to brute force it. And just as if that's not sufficient, we store them randomly across all the storage servers in a given region. And I will tell you why the given region is more important in a second. So that's what happened to your files that you upload. That is how you make sure that if you ever get even a physical access into your data center, even if you can brute force the key, there is simply no way you could possibly take your data and then use it for any purposes. Even if I want to do that, it is an impossible quest. So it's not just from a security perspective, right? Just the same model, because we run Azure, because we run Global Foundation servers, we can afford to run at an economy of scale today, giving you 1 terabyte site collections and OneDrive for business and infinite size tenants for your total storage. Whatever be the data storage needs of your enterprises, we got it. Come to us. Or thank you. Things get more interesting, right? We believe in transparency. So let's talk about something that very few cloud providers can ever possibly come close to. So these were the data centers that we showed you last time. And if you sign up for a tenancy anywhere close and select a country, we are going to route you onto that given region, and the data is never going to leave that region. It's our promise. It's never going to leave that region. And then, let's start, 237. In the last 18 months, we added a few more data centers, some for capacity, some for the data sovereignty needs. So let me actually talk a little bit about this new data center that we start up in China. Like I said, there are some customers who just by their sheer regulations that governs them cannot host their data anywhere outside a specific region. And they need to have a model where even Microsoft, even with our lockbox, couldn't possibly get into that customer data. And hence, we have a model where we have a data center up there. We have partitioned the sort of the change manageability infrastructure so that we can deploy onto them. But if you ever need to touch it, we would really need to go through a Chinese company that we have partnered with called 21Winet. Note that this is very different from sort of outsourcing our operations to someone else, because this is because our customers demanded us that we operate in this model. So if you need to be in a given region, we are going to give you data sovereignty in that region. And don't take my word for it. These are the certifications that Office 365 has. It is not just in the US. It is in Europe. And if you are governed by a certain regulation, chances are that we have it. And if you don't have it, if we don't have it, call us, and we will make sure that we get there. So this is our commitment. And for us to get here, we really had to partition the SharePoint that you guys know and love and deploy every day into a completely different thing where we have customer data here, and we have the manageability fabric in a separate place so that we can continue to operate without touching the customer data. So this is the proof that we got externally. And then finally, just to get you on the other side of the information protection, right? This, I tried to do a couple of demos here. I just couldn't do justice to this. And the one demo I had, we showed it on the keynote. So you got a taste of it. Let me just quickly give you the framing around this, right? All the stuff that we talked about, from a scale, from a reliability, from security, those are about how we protect the data center. It is equally important that we give you a set of tool systems and affordances for you to manage your information and your users. And with our information protection tool system, we are giving you the power that you need to manage them. So there's a couple of things that I want to touch and point you to the appropriate sessions where you can get the next level of details. We have a pretty unique strategy on how we think about information protection, right? Other providers think of it as it is going to be a rip and replace where the compliance data need to move to a separate compliance store to manage them. And as a guy who runs the data center, and as people who run data centers in this forum, you guys know that moving tremendous amount of data around is not an easy problem. And since we own the assets like SharePoint, like Exchange, like Link, like our social servers, we have a unique position to not move the data around, but take compliance over into those assets. And it gives us three benefits. It makes things simple because you don't have to move data around. It makes things fast because you don't have to wait for the latency that it takes for the data to show up in the compliance store before it will be governed by the compliance. And then finally, and most importantly, the job of the IT is to make sure that your company stays empowered and productive. And hence, this model of information protection ensures that your IWs are not going to be ever disrupted. Compliance is something that happens in lower substrate for you. So once we can have a 365 view of it, 360-degree view of it, we are now introducing you a one-stop center for all your compliance needs, right? We talked about the document loss prevention in the keynote. There is going to be a full session that's dedicated to this. If you want to do archiving, you want to do auditing, if you want to respond to an e-discovery using a standard format in which you get the appropriate reports on it, if you want to do encryption, if you want to go nuke a device that holds your customer's data, if it was found to be compromised, you have a one-stop shop. That's called the Office 365 Compliance Center. Because when you are under the fire to respond to a e-discovery request, or when you are under the fire when your content possibly got compromised due to a lost device, it's not the place when you want to futz around in six different portals or in three different vendors. Come to us and you have a one-stop shop. And there is going to be three sessions. You know, we talked about finding credit cards and stuff like that. There's going to be 3 sessions that you guys should attend if this is something that interesting to you. You can take a picture if you would like. All right. Sharing in SharePoint Online, right? So sharing is sort of a fundamental right of SharePoint. Information is the lifeblood of an organization, and it multiplies when it's shared. When it's shared internally or with the partners, and SharePoint Online makes it very easy for you to do so, especially external sharing. How many of you guys have set up external sharing using SharePoint on-prem? You guys are really rock stars. Yeah, it's, you know, there's a few guys in the audience who actually wrote the white paper for it, and it is actually pretty complex. So if you are in the product, it is not difficult. If you are on the service, it's not difficult. But at the same time as empowering your IWs to share, the IT needs to have the governance controls to know where your information is headed. Let me show you how SharePoint Online walks the perfect balance between empowerment and governance through a quick demo. All right, we are back in Chrome, and I promise to show you IE. So this is it, and you can go here, click on the share dialog. The share dialog pops up, and there's a couple of things that I really want to show, right? One is, if you want to look up someone who is in your organization, you know, David Longmuir. You know, if you can see that of all the properties that we could have shown on that profile, we chose to show you the title, because sometimes accidental leak happens because there are 2 people with the same name. You're just not sure, was I sending to the David Johnson who is in IT, or is it just David Johnson who is in your corporate security? So that gives you transparency right there. You know, you can also see that if you want to share externally, .com, you can share right there. All you need is an email, and you can share externally. At this point in time, when the partner signs in, you can go in there and can access the data. You can say whether you want to give edit rights. You want to say whether you need to sign in to access it. So that full security by default is a principle that we use. There's a couple other things that I want to mention and some more improvements that's coming. These sharing principles that we added, it's not just in SharePoint. The moment we add them, it is available across the suite. Now, that is sort of enough about sharing, and we can see that it's a little simpler than creating a threat management gateway in your demilitarized zone. So let's take a look at the control systems that's behind there, right? So this I'm going to show you something, so just don't be alarmed. This is Microsoft's internal dog food that we run. So I'm not showing you any customer data here. This is our own, what we call dog food, right? There is a ring through which we send the product before it hits you, and I'll talk about a bit in a second. But in this environment, you can actually see there's a little sharing tab. You can go there. You can find all the external users for your tenancy. You can find, we should close that guy, okay. You can find all the principles who have been externally shared. If you want to see more details, you can click on that. If you want to actually click on a specific site, say in this case, site here, and say, hey, this seems to be shared with 50 people, who that is shared with, you can actually find a full list of them. You can deny rights to them, and you would be wondering at the top level if you want to say, what are the policies so that you can allow external sharing, for which sites, and at a tenant level, all those controls, it's at your disposal, right? So an IW can do that for their own content. IT administrators have top-level view of the all of organizations one. By the way, someone in my team wanted to remind you that this is what we call the tenant administrator, right? This is sort of the cloud equivalent of Office 360 SharePoint central administrator. So when you come to the cloud, there is a full tenant administration capability that you have access to, and you have pretty much the same full control with your content, with your users, with your policies, as you would run it on-prem. So that's about balancing. And then finally, running a service is about our ability to listen to your feedback and turn around with fixes without taking a 3-year release time and another 5-year deployment time. A quick show of hands, by the way. What percentage of you guys have majority of your SharePoint running 2013? 2010? Most of you. Before 2010. It's okay. We understand. Upgrade. I couldn't say it any other way. Upgrade is hard. When you run on the service, you get to ask for feedback, and we get to deliver them. So these are the features that we delivered in the last 1 year. And the first time when we talk about these features, the question that most of you have is, hey, we are an enterprise. It's not a little consumer thingy where, you know, we are sharing our cat's pictures. We have business-critical workflows that run on us. There is a fast food chain. The amount of potato fries that each franchise should put on the fryer is a big machine learning algorithm using what events are going on over there, what has been the historical trend. That is something that is calculated using Office 365 and pushed into every single one of their chains. I don't have evidence to disclose their name, so you understand how business critical it is. I won't get potato fries if we are sort of not professional about our change management. So when the code comes out, it goes through a test gauntlet, and then it has a set of successive rings through which the code propagates. And I'm not going to walk you through it, but this is how it progresses through. And we randomly select one farm to roll it before we have had a chance to see these bits in our environment and through our test multiple times. So the service dog food that I showed you is one of the environments over there. And then we did a pretty cool thing called Tripwire in the last year, right? So this is where we are listening to our own monitoring, the potential changes in the support call volume, what the user engagement, if there is a sudden drop in user engagement, then we know that possibly something went wrong. Office 365 community forums, we listen to Twitter to see is someone saying anything about, and we listen to a pretty, you know, diverse mix of signals, and that signal system can automatically stop the code from propagating into the successive rings. That has been one of the key foundational layers in the availability improvement that we saw, but there were many more things that you will see in the subsequent sessions. In addition, we did this pretty interesting thing. You know, Toyota's manufacturing plant. Anyone from Toyota here? They have given us the evidence to use this. It's one of our customers, luckily, too. They have this pretty interesting system where, you know, there is a big red switch. Any one of their employees, if they see something, they can go pull that, and the forward progress of the production would stop. So because it's very important that every one of our employees have a set of system that we carry around to make sure that the service is up and running, and if we see anything, we can go stop it. And we call it stop the train. It's really the release stops. So any one of the advancements, new features that I showed you before, if it possibly disrupts your business, we can detect it. If you see something, of course, call the support too, and it comes into the same system, and we can stop the release from coming to you and possibly disrupting your business. That's our commitment to professional change management. This is how an enterprise cloud runs its changes. All right. So I was going to do a quick demo. We are kind of short on time. Let me see if I can. So this is an internal tool that we built. I'm hoping that it won't ask me to sign in right now. Good. You know what this is? This, every one of the rows in here represents one of the scale units that I showed you in the previous graph of our data centers, right? And we carry this thing around, you know, in various fashions. When we make a change to it, we know which stage it's processing. And if there are any issues with one of the deployments, then we can actually go call the stop the train or the stop the release button that we talked about. And this is a thing that is in our pocket to know how the deployments are going. It gives us transparency into it. and we make sure that when we do changes, that is something that is going to run without a glitch. So let's actually, save time and try to get into a couple other things that I want to say. So far, we talked about the reliability, we talked about security, we talked about our professional change management, our information protection platform. And as you can see, we strive every day to do a good job running your service, your business, and hosting your data, right? Because every business depends on it. And many of our customers have taken this journey as a lock, stock, and barrel, right? They have just moved to the cloud and said, that's all we are going to use. But we understand, for some of you, it is not a decision that you can make overnight. And you have a lot of processes, you have a lot of data, and you thinking about cloud is sort of overwhelming. Now, hopefully have seen evidence that we try to do a good job at it. So even if you are convinced that you want to come to the cloud, that process is, for some of you, is a journey. And I don't want to imply that, you know, everyone needs to upgrade into your on-prem SharePoint 2013 SP1 to come to the cloud. You can come to the cloud today. But in case if you are struggling a bit coming up with a way to come up with it, I thought Bill Clinton this morning, President Clinton this morning said a very interesting thing, right? In one of the videos, he said, because we can't do everything, that shouldn't stop us from doing anything. And I think that's a very powerful line, not just for cloud, but in general life, when we find these sort of invincible situations to think, because we can't do everything, let that not stop you from doing anything. And so this is a place where, because you can't move all your on-prem onto the cloud overnight, we are going to give you some tool system so you can come to it today with SP1. So SP1 released about 4 days back. I'm hoping that you guys are taking a look at it. And on its central administrator that we all have now, let's actually shift to a real demo and see if you can do this, right? It's kind of crazy for me to make an extemporaneous demo, but take a look at this. This is my RDP into a Redmond on-prem server. All right, so we have this on the lower left. Some of you can let me know if you can't see it. We have this innocuous set of controls that we added called Office 365. And this is what you get immediately after you deploy SP1. And if you just want to say, you just want to configure Yammer, then there is no 10-week strategy that you need to do. You just go in here and you say, activate Yammer. And it's going to work on it. This is a point in time we are going to reach into the Yammer system. It's going to provision for you. In the back end, we are going to move the sort of the native SharePoint social capabilities that existed in the 2013 product, and we are going to rewrite it so that you can start using them. And at this point in time, Yammer is configured. So if you would note that it actually changed from SharePoint Newsfeed to Yammer here, you can click on it, and then there you will be taken into, come on, this is actually running on a single 4 gig VM, like 10 different processes. That's sort of crazy for me to show it. I actually put it together to take a couple screenshots, but hey, let's do a live demo here. Also, you can see here in your OneDrive, you can go in here and over here. So you remember the demo that I showed you? The same URL, if you just type in here. What do we call the MySite host proxy, anyone? 0365 demoplat.onmicrosoft.com. You type that guy in, you click OK, and then your OneDrive is going to be redirected to. At that point in time, you don't have to do any more complex steps. When you click on OneDrive over there, it's going to redirect you from your local on-prem OneDrive, if you have deployed one of them, onto the cloud. The 25 gigabyte of free storage that comes up with it, the 1 terabyte of site collection that you can grow into, that we are going to continuously work towards increasing the quota, and going to give you a pretty competitive offer right there for you. And all the capabilities that we talked to you about is going to be right there available. So all this is useful. I have a saying to my PMs in Redmond that the PMs and engineers can come up with anything. But if you don't get validation on this from a real customer, you're really not building anything. So let's hear a bit about how one of our technology adoption partners from Stanley Black & Decker have used the early bits of Service Pack 1. They were far ahead of their time, so they actually got some early bits and taken advantage to come to the cloud. So it's my pleasure to introduce you to Chris Teer. He is the e-delivery and collaboration manager for Black & Decker, and he's going to have us talk to it. Thank you, Chris.
Cool. Thanks. So at Stanley Black & Decker, we have four major business units with over 20 global brands across the world. Due to the number of acquisitions and mergers we've gone through over the last couple of years, we've ended up with over 20 separate employee intranets across the company. Trying to get information out to our 40,000 employees consistently has been a pretty big challenge for us. Another initiative that we were looking at last year that was kind of in sync with that was we had a lot of people in the field, a lot of mobile people traveling a lot that needed secure access to their company information and their company documents. They're using unauthorized apps like Dropbox that had a lot of concern from the IT department. So we started an initiative there as well to look for a solution to address that. The end result is a hybrid deployment that we did last year with SharePoint 2013 on-premise and OneDrive for Business through Office 365. For our SharePoint 2013 on-premise deployment, we decided to do it across three regional hubs. And we did a massive redesign effort to actually get people to want to come to SharePoint and want to put their information up there and use it. So we organized the information to a news center. So all the different four major businesses had a way to have that news aggregated to the front page of the employee intranet. We also designed it so that it was responsive. So anyone that was on a tablet or phone, the layout would change from 3 to 1 column layouts. Going back to the OneDrive for Business, we're actively rolling that out now to over 1,000 employees with some very good success. We started in small waves, like first 10, then 50, then 100, just to get kind of all the problems worked out, mostly internal problems with how we're going to support it and roll it out and provide user assistance and help and support. We're now at the point now we're going to deploy it to about another 1,000 users. One of the challenges that we were seeing was that when employees came onto SharePoint on-premise, they would see a link in the very top for OneDrive for Business. They click it and it would go to like their My Site, which had very limited storage and wasn't accessible outside the company network. And they were confused with having OneDrive for Business in the cloud in Office 365. So we were planning to do a project this year. Actually, next month we were going to kick it off with our go-to partner, Orchestra, who does a lot of our SharePoint work, to custom code the homepage, or not our homepage, but our on-premise SharePoint environment to automatically detect any users with an Office 365 license. And if they had a license, it was going to automatically replace the OneDrive for Business link in the very top. I think Microsoft stole our idea and beat us to that, so they put that into Service Pack 1. So we don't have to go down that path now. So no custom coding there, so we're looking forward to that. We actually have Service Pack 1 in our dev environment, and we'll probably be rolling that out probably in the next month or two. Now that we have a place for our employees to go for their content, and they're actually excited for once to go to SharePoint, getting them off those other 20 legacy intranet portals is actually achievable now, and we're pretty excited about that. And that's about it. Thanks. If you want to hear more, I'm doing a full session on this topic on Wednesday, and feel free to check it out. Thanks, Simon.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It is always good to get validation of the strategies from real customers who know what they are really talking about. So we appreciate it. So if you have SP1, I mean, if you have a 2013 environment, we really, really encourage you to check it out, even if it's just to see, get a sense around what does it mean to have a sort of a tip of your toe onto the cloud and get a sense around it. It is a pretty powerful integration we have done, because we believe that coming to the cloud is not a choice that one got to make by abandoning what you have on-prem. We want to make sure that our on-prem customers are taken through this journey and have a chance to come along. So you heard a lot today about our cloud, its advancements in security, in reliability, and you know, Chris had a chance to walk us through the on-ramps, so that even if you have a very complex SharePoint deployment on-prem, you have an opportunity to come to our cloud today and be part of the same family, be part of the same administration, and all that be afforded at a low cost. And one of the most sort of fulfilling journey for us to do that was with our immediate partner in Microsoft IT. Microsoft IT runs one of the largest SharePoint deployments in the planet. It perhaps is a little smaller than SharePoint Online, but pretty. And Kristen came to us a couple of years back with an objective to modernize our system and help us get to the cloud. And he has been really driving our strategy and adoption of our social collaboration and mobility services across the company. And like all large companies, adoption of our service in Microsoft has been a journey through. And it's my pleasure to introduce Kristen to take us through that.
Thank you, Simon. Good afternoon, everybody. I have to go back. Chris, is this, I've got to ask, is that you, pre-beard? All right, I was sitting in the audience looking at it and go, is that Chris? I couldn't tell. Anyway, so that is Chris Prebeard, if anybody's wondering. So I'm really excited to be here today to talk about Microsoft IT's journey to the cloud, and more specifically, SharePoint Online, as a customer, that is. As you know, and as President Clinton very eloquently stated this morning, the cloud is transforming our industry, and in fact, all our lives. Microsoft IT sees the cloud as an opportunity to really redefine and reimagine our business. And me personally, I see it as an opportunity like I haven't seen in the 20 plus years that I've been in an industry. I started 2 years ago in role, and I have seen firsthand the power of the cloud and the transformation it has in an IT organization. So let me spend a little time talking to you about that. When I started 18 months ago, or you know, a little less than 2 years ago, my team was primarily focused on traditional IT tasks, buying servers and managing infrastructure, delivering point solutions, and spending way too much time worrying about support and uptime. And I will tell you today, my team and myself spend virtually no time worrying about that anymore. So let me walk you through that journey. About 18 months ago, Microsoft IT doubled down on migrating to the cloud, as they say in Vegas, right? And what that meant is we wanted to move very fast, but we wanted to do it in a simple way. And so we did a few very simple things after some initial prep work. And essentially what we did is, the first thing we did is we turned off on-prem site provisioning for team sites. And we transitioned that to SharePoint Online right out of the gate. And the second thing we did was we made sure that all our employees had OneDrive for business. And I will tell you, we were moving fast. We weren't necessarily sure how it was going to play out in the limit. And there were a couple things, particularly around hybrid scenarios, that we were concerned about, search and governance, as an example. But we made the leap, and we focused in the right areas, and it paid off. So let me tell you a little bit about what we learned there. Very quickly, we saw the power of the cloud and the online experience for our employees. We spent a lot of time up front, Microsoft IT that is, thinking about, and probably in retrospect spending a little bit too much money, don't tell my boss, how to migrate our employees, my sites, and the team sites to the cloud. And what we found out pretty quickly was that the employees ended up doing most of the work for us, that the migration ended up being largely organic. And in the first year, essentially our adoption online dwarfed our on-prem content that we'd been building up for 10 years. Pretty amazing when you consider how quickly that happened, and way quicker than we even thought it was going to happen. Today, we have 50,000 plus team site collections in the cloud on SharePoint Online versus about 6 or 7 left on premises that are rapidly dwindling. That represents about 65 terabytes of data for OneDrive for Business and growing pseudo exponentially, as Simon knows very well. Another 25 terabytes for our team sites. And from a site perspective, that 93% of our sites are now on SharePoint Online versus where they were 18 months ago. And that represents the majority of our content in Microsoft. So a pretty staggering rate of adoption within the company. But it didn't happen overnight, and as Simon mentioned, we didn't wait for it all to happen over in one fell swoop, right? We did it gradually, and we're still doing it. And now we're really turning our attention to our core portal experiences for our employees. And while, as Simon mentioned, Microsoft IT is the largest tenant within SharePoint Online, and we push the bounds of the product and service so you all don't have to. You might have seen we were one of the steps in the release chain there, right?
That is true.
What's that?
That is true.
Yeah, and we've been through that together, right, Simon? But the great thing there is, even that being said, we are seeing much greater availability and scalability than we did on-prem. We are saving costs dramatically, and more importantly, we're able to deliver our services much faster to our business partners. And it's compelling for our employees, and the productivity is being highlighted. With the shift, we've been able to allow my team to spend much more time and much more closely with our business partners. And we've been developing really compelling world-class online experiences for employees. As you can see, we've been able to deliver our IT offerings as a true service. It's something we've been trying to do for years. Up until this point, we've really struggled with that. I've been able to shift my team to focus on engagement and adoption, really working with the business rather than the technology. We're able to adopt the product innovations at a much faster rate and get them in the hands of our employees. We're able to shift our investments to strategic initiatives and showcase experiences rather than spending it all on the technical infrastructure. And I want to talk to you about a few what we call showcase experiences for our employees. Both are built on SharePoint Online. The first is what we call Microsoft IT Dev Center. Microsoft IT Dev Center is a single portal to certify and publish corporate apps in Microsoft on Windows and Windows Phone. And so essentially, this is where our employees are able to discover and download corp-compliant applications on any device anywhere in the world. And it highlights how SharePoint Online can be used for critical business functions and critical workflows. And the second showcase I want to highlight is Microsoft Academy. Academy is also delivered through SharePoint Online, as well as with Windows Azure Media Services. And this is our corporate video portal. We're looking forward to some of the stuff we saw this morning from Julie that'll be launched later in the year. But Academy is our showcase experience for video for our employees and our sales force. And the fact that it's always on, the fact that social is integrated right into it, and that it's got a fantastic mobile experience, has really driven customer experience, a customer satisfaction way up, or employee satisfaction way up. So I hope you can see with what I've showed you and the journey we've been on that the Microsoft Cloud Services makes it a very exciting time to be in IT for everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Robinson. Can you actually just... Okay. That's it, folks. The thing that we showed you, the beauty of the cloud is going to be available to you over the next few weeks and perhaps a couple of months. go look on your tenancies, install SP1, and make a start of the journey onto the cloud. And for those who are on the cloud, hopefully you got a chance to see that we are not going to sit on our laurels and going to continuously innovate here. This is a pretty big bet for us. And we are going to be available for a few questions. If you would like to have my business card, I always encourage you to contact me if you need anything with respect to deriving the full value of our product. Enjoy the rest of the conference, if not. Thank you.